Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
It's time to enter the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's time for the highly sought-after, fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Well, welcome back for the highly sought after fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show, live from Jersey Mike's is where we are at right now. Jersey Mike's, Whitesburg Lane. And Airport Road, and I'm seeing some Randolph guys that are afraid to walk in the door. Are these guys? I wonder if these guys are on a football team. Are any of you guys on a football team? Wait a minute, come over here. I want to talk to these guys. These are guys from the Randolph football team. What's your name, son?
Jackman and Stockton.
Are you on a Randolph football team?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what's your name? Come on over here.
Winston Kelly.
Winston Kelly. T Mac, you do the color on the game, so you know who Winston Kelly is. You know that dude? No.
Wait, you need to give me a chance to answer.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My headphone thing came out of my tutu jacuzzi came out. You know him?
I believe Winston Kelly was brought up by the coach in the post game show last time they played. So yeah,
you went on the radio, Winston Kelly. Did you go on the radio to the coach? He doesn't know. I don't think.
No. Right, no.
What's your name over here, son?
Luke Allison.
Now, you play on a team too?
Yes, sir.
Now, what do you play?
Fullback.
Fullback. On the varsity team?
Yes, sir. I'm injured, though.
Oh, you're injured. Okay. All right. Because what grade are you? What year are you? Huh? A junior. Okay. All right. You know what you need? Jersey subs. Jersey Mike subs is what you need to build up a little bike. Come on over here, Braces. What's your name?
Reed Thurman.
Reed, what year are you?
Sophomore.
All right. Do you play at all or what?
Yes, sir.
Where are you? A linebacker?
Reed,
hey, T-Mac, do you know Reed Thurman? They got my producer. I'm Tom Abraham, by the way. My producer does the color on your games. He's not the play-by-play guy. The play-by-play guy, he's that real skinny guy that does the play-by-play. I don't know if you're maybe not real skinny, but the guy that does the play-by-play, he's at his ideal weight if he was 11 foot tall. You know what I'm saying? But do you know the Thurman kid or what?
Reed Thurman gets his name called a lot on Friday nights. Yes,
ooh, I'm very better. He's the damn middle linebacker. He should be making all the tackles. What's their record now, T-Man? Are they 4-2, 5-2?
5-2. 5-2.
5-2. Now, which one is a senior? Any of you is a senior? Juniors? So this is a young football team. Junior? You're a junior as well? All right, we'll come back over here now. So what is it? Wait, you got to come closer to me because my headphone thing keeps jerking me back. So 5-2, who are you playing this week?
D-A-R.
What's the playoff prospects now for you guys? I mean, we didn't sign up with Randolph to do 10 games. I mean, we're kind of hoping to do a few extra games.
Yeah, we're actually already in the playoffs. When we beat North Jackson, we got into the playoffs, but now it's all about seeding and who we play, so...
So you could get a home playoff game too, though, right? I mean, you don't know for sure yet whether you got a home playoff game. Do you think you have a home game?
If we win out these next two region games, we'll be seeded number two behind MA, and we'll have a home playoff game. That's the goal. So,
you know, the owner here is Kim. Kim, come over here for a second. Kim, come over here for a second. Kim's the owner here of Jersey Mike's. Kim, these guys play football for Randolph right around the corner here. And they play on our air. We actually carry the Randolph games. And I just wanted to tell you, they came in here on their own volition. So it appears it's pretty obvious that Jersey Mike's must be the official sub shop of the Randolph Raiders football team, right? I mean, you've been open for a month. So what do you think of these good-looking young men coming in here and get a little bit of this Jersey Mike subs?
Awesome. I think that's great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming out.
That's the owner. She owns the joint, okay? That's Jersey Kim. We call her Jersey Kim. It's all right. They kids, they got money. Their kids, kids got money. She goes, is that private? Of course it's private. Are you kidding me? So, yeah, it's right around the corner from here. So, T-Mac, we got half the football team in here. You guys all play defense, right? You play offense? Now, what position do you play on offense?
I play starting center.
You're starting center. You guys are not – how much do you weigh?
180 pounds.
Yeah.
Good God.
Offensive line.
Good God.
Very, very
not
small
big,
offensive
right?
line.
Man, by the way, I love your coach. I'm just saying, you guys got a really good coach. I mean, I love their coach. Very, very good program over there. So very cool that you guys came in and enjoy some Jersey Mike subs. But you need to eat. You see that dude back there ready to cut your meat? That's what – no, you. I'm looking at you right there. You're at the guy with the thing. That's what you need to look like. You know what I mean? He's a center on the football team down the street. I mean, no, you got to get like him. You don't weigh 180, right? You haven't been 180 since the seventh grade, right? I mean, about right, isn't it? See, that's what you got to – gotta be big like he's about tic tac shy at 250. You know, that's what you need to do. You need to get big like that. All right. Well, go eat, will you? All right. Good job of you guys. Do you play baseball too? Is that right? We saw some baseball. I actually did a remote from there when you guys were playing in your playoff game. When you were playing baseball in the play, you got beautiful facilities too over there. Really nice facilities. All right. Good to see you guys in here. Kim, isn't it great to have the when you can? Let me tell you something. You've been open a month. This is Jersey Kim here. Not Jersey Mike, Jersey Kim. Hang on a second. Well, Jeff, come on. Jeff, hang on. I'm talking to the owner. You've been open a month, and you got the guys from the football team coming in already. It's not bad.
Hey, I like it. I like to hear it. You know, we're big with sports. We're big on sports, so I love to see the athletes come over here and have a good hearty sub for their dinner.
Yeah, and what's good about Randolph kids is it's like they're not going to come in like looking for a freebie or anything. You know what I mean? I mean, they got daddy's money, you know what I'm saying? Just come in, they can buy it some. They can afford it over here. All right, well, that's good. It's fun. It's always great to see the kids come out, and they all need to gain weight. So I told them to eat up a lot of Jersey Mike subs so they can get big. So, all right, well, that's good stuff. All right, T-Mac, what were we doing? We were in the show.
let me tell you something.
Are we on air still? Yeah.
Let me say this. If people are getting a chance to listen to the Tom Abraham show like a lot of people do, hey, that's one of the beauties of it right there. You know how to work a freaking room. I'm telling you that right now.
You can work a room now. All right, the Junkyard Baby's here, too, and she what do we have here? Yeah, working a room. Talk about working a room. That's right. She can work a room. What did she give it? What did she give you here?
I think you should talk to Kim about it.
Well, I did talk to Kim, but what are do I see buy one, get one free? Is that what that means?
That's what that means. That's exactly what that means.
So I got buy one, get one free, and then $1. Why would I want $1 off a regular sub if I can have a buy one, get one free?
Well, if you only wanted one sub, I guess you would use the dollar off. I don't know.
Okay. All right. So here's the deal. We only have, I'm going to be honest with you. We have 3 t-shirts left. All right. I usually don't like to tell people that because if I tell them that, then they'll all be gone, and then people won't want to come anymore. But what I've got in front of me right now, T-Mac, is... You might not have a t-shirt here. I'm here till 6 o'clock. There might not be any t-shirts left when you get here, but I got BOGO tickets for Jersey Mike's. Buy one, get one free. And I got $1 off a regular sub if you don't want to buy one, get one free. I don't know why you'd want to do that, but I got BOGO tickets here. So buy one, get one free. Come on by and see me at the broadcast table, and I'll hook you up. That's a pretty good deal right there, don't you think?
That's a great deal. And if you want to know which one Tom is when you walk in, he's the one like really, really with the mic in front of his face trying to watch a Yankee game. So
I'm the one with the mic. Yeah. The Yankees just got another hit.
There you go. I was wondering if you saw the double there by Judge.
I see that. Oh, it's Judge? I didn't see that it was Judge because one of the Randolph football players' his head is right in the way of the TV right now. So, all right, he just moved. Oh, that scored a run? You didn't tell me it was an RBI, a double, an RBI. The Yankees are up 2-0 on Dallas Keuchel. You got to be kidding me. This is so exciting. So the Yanks now up 2-0. Tanaka pitching very well. And Brett Gardner scoring from first.
First base.
Yeah. Do you see him hustling, too? Yeah. And there's one out. Judge is on second. Can you imagine being a catcher if Judge is coming in to score and there's going to be a collision? I know there's not supposed to be collisions anymore, but still, can you imagine that moose coming around the corner and having to deal with that? If Gary Sanchez gets a single here, the Yankees blow this thing wide open. They had a chance of blowing it wide open. All right, so it's really cool to have the guys come down from the school And you know, if I was Kim, I would be figuring out a way to work out some deal with the Raiders. You know what I mean? I used to right around the corner. You guys should have like your pregame meal here. My son and I, when I was doing games in Nashville, my son and I used to have a Baconator before every game, you know, because it was just like a tradition. And, you know, this would be a much healthier place to grab a little pregame meal. You and Arky ought to do that.
Yeah, that's a great deal, to be honest with you. And we talk to the athletic director every single week, and we talked a lot about the higher-ups over there at Randolph, so that wouldn't be a bad pitch there.
When you talk to the athletic director this week, let him know, will you, that the boys came in to see me and they got food here at Jersey Mike's.
I'm going to tell
Kim she should do a deal. She should do a deal with the school. It's just too perfect. It's right around the corner from the school. I mean, you know, she ought to do a deal. All right, high drama, late afternoon drama. Look at that, T-Mac. I mean, come on. You got it on in your studio. I got it on here at Jersey Mike's at Whitesburg and Airport Road. The gloom. It's now Eastern time. It's now 6:10 Eastern time. The gloom of October baseball settling over Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. And it's just beautiful. I mean, it's a sight. There are certain things in sports. A Saturday, a 3 o'clock game, 2:30 game in Tuscaloosa or on the Plains or at Neyland Stadium. A late afternoon game in the Big Ten in November where snowflakes are falling. A game at Notre Dame when they had grass. And afternoon playoff baseball in the gloom of late afternoon. I mean, it's what sports was invented for.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. This is a fun one to watch, especially when you talk about the whole gloom of playoff game in October for the Yankees, and you look at how young this baseball team is right now, mm-hmm. and how everybody's been talking about how they're ahead of schedule, and they are a couple innings away from seriously clinching, having a great chance from being down 0-2 to going and clinching the NLCS and go to a World Series. And when you talk about that gloom that you look forward to of being at Yankee Stadium and watching a playoff game, it's looking like you're going to get a lot of that for years to come because this young Yankees team looks fantastic.
You know, I don't often recommend like follows and things like that, you know, for the Twitter. But do you follow John Gruden, the foul at faux John Gruden, at faux underscore Gruden?
The fake John Gruden? Yeah.
The fake John Gruden? Oh, it's so funny. Did you see the one of DeMarco Murray? Faux John Gruden. DeMarco Murray, man, this guy. Defenses can't seem to get a hand on him, so that's why I call him DeMarco Polo. Swimming pools are the best.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I did not see
fantastic.
That. That's good.
No, that's a good follow there. If I'm going to say that's a follow, that's a good follow right there. You might want to check that out. All right. Phone lines are open if you want to get it. 866-485-9867 will get you into the show. A lot of people have come down. Otherwise, we wouldn't have run out of T-shirts. We've got one left. We've got one T-shirt left. But I got buy one, get one free here right in front of me. Coupons. So if you want to snag one, you just come on in and see me. You might not get a T-shirt, but you get a buy one, get one free coupon. I mean, that would be, you know, that would be something to have. I think that would be very, very cool. In fact, what I need to do, don't tell anybody, what I need to do is get with Kim and have her give, I should have sent some of these back with the football. No, those guys would have kept them for themselves. What she needs to do is give some of these to the football team and so that they get those guys in here. See, and once they start coming in here, that's it. You never stop.
Yeah.
Never stop.
I still think that probably would have been a pretty good idea. They're pretty good kids, so they probably would have passed around.
Basketball media days today in the SEC. We would have been there. Remember, we talked about going, and we would have been there, but they said, hey, Jersey Mike's. I said, oh, hell with basketball media days. Kidding me, I'm going to Jersey Mike's. So basketball media days today. Kevon Allen from Florida. Yante Mayton from Georgia. Hamidou Diallo from Kentucky, Michael Porter Jr. from Missouri, Robert Williams from Texas A&M. That's your first team all SEC preseason team. On the second team, Colin Sexton, the new freshman at Alabama. He's on there. Kevin Knox from Kentucky, Terrence Davis, Ole Miss, DeAndre Burnett, Ole Miss, Quentin Witherspoon from Mississippi State. and Tyler Davis from A&M and Matthew Fisher Davis with the ties from Vanderbilt. SEC Player of the Year. It's a tie, a three-way tie, pretty media vote. Yante Maton out of Georgia, Michael Porter Jr. out of Missouri, and Robert Williams from Texas A&M. So that's the way that vote went. Your preseason media poll, I mean, Kentucky, it's always Kentucky, right? So Kentucky first, and then after that, Florida second, Texas A&M third, Alabama 4, Missouri 5, Arkansas 6, Vandy 7, Georgia 8, Auburn 9, Ole Miss 10, South Carolina 11, Mississippi State 12, Tennessee 13. Well, see, Tennessee always got that to live for. I mean, you know, the football team sucks, but, you know, basketball team is rated 13th in the SEC. So, come on. You got that to live for. God, is it rough there right now? You know, they don't even play good chicks basketball anymore, do they? I mean, they're good, but they're not good like they were good, right? They're not, like, dominant going to the Final Four every year there. The Lady Vols. I mean, they got nothing going for them up there, do they? They got great facilities, but what do they do? I'm being totally serious. I know I tick off Tennessee fans all the time, but I'm being totally serious. The baseball team is just not even okay, just almost a little bit okay. The women's basketball is not what it was. Men's basketball is not anything. The football team is a 500 team at best. What do they got going for them, T-Mac? Anything? I mean, what do they do good?
That's a good question. I'm sitting here trying to think of even a sarcastic remark, and I can't think of anything. It's a sad time in Knoxville.
Just saying, man.
It's a good point. You're right. There's nothing really good to take away.
Trent, hey, give me my Dodgers package. Trent says he's pulling for the Stankies, but he needs some dive for the sweep tonight and for an epic World Series. Now, Trent, we did earlier today. We opened the show with it, talking about last night how the Dodgers had pretty much pushed the Cubs to the brink and really doing all the damage last night. Chris Taylor.
On 3-1, Taylor with a fly ball to center field. Well hit. Jay going back to the wall. He looks up, and it's gone. A home run. Chris Taylor, a shot over the wall in center. And the Dodgers take a 2-1 lead. Taylor, base hit, pass Bryant into the left field corner. Peterson will score. Taylor's on his way to third. Here's a throw, head first slide, and he is safe. Chris Taylor with a home run in the third, triples into the left field corner, scoring Peterson here in the fifth. And the Dodgers take a 3-1 lead.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to sit here and throw a lot of hyperbole your way. I mean, it's just about our guys. I mean, you have to. Your back's absolutely against the wall. Tomorrow is a game seven. We have 3-4 game sevens in a row coming up right now. So it's just about, you know, we got to counterpunch it at some point, and that's absolutely necessary tomorrow. We need to gain some kind of mental momentum.
That was Joe Maddon talking about what they've got to do to try and get back in. They're not going to get back into it. You're not getting the sweep tonight, Trent. I don't think you get the sweep tonight, but you're going to get the maybe you drop one tonight, you win it tomorrow. I don't even think that thing's going back to L.A. And the next game that the Dodgers play in L.A. will be game one of the World Series. And, yes, it would be epic if it was the Yankees and the Dodgers, certainly, from my standpoint.
I mean, I know he said you were talking a lot about the Yankees. And I know you did throw that Dodgers package together and put it in there. But, I mean, it's not your fault that the Yankees package, and I'm not a Yankee fan, sounded better. I mean, the Dodgers guy kind of sounded like he was on the way out the door.
Well, you know who that is? Charlie Steiner from ESPN. Remember back in the day, Charlie
really?
Steiner and ESPN? Yeah, it's Charlie Steiner. He's the voice of the Dodgers. That was weak, man. Yes, let him hear what John Sterling sounded like last night. Give him a taste.
Swung on and line, base hit, right center field in the alley. Didi was running. Judge scores. Here comes Didi. He has got a score. Sanchez, a two-run double to the gap in right center. One of the greatest rallies I've ever seen.
See, like that's just
yeah.
Compared to the Dodgers, that's my goodness.
It's John Sterling, man. I mean, it's John Sterling right there for the Yankees on their side of the deal. Plus, the Yankees are on now. I mean, that's the other part of it. Leading 2-0, by the way, in case you missed the top four now with Tanaka dealing. He's given up two hits through three and a third. But right now he looks pretty good. I mean, just absolutely good. Now, the Astros did get a man to third with one out. They had a leadoff double, moved him over to third, and we're unable to get the run in with less than two outs from third. So Tanaka doing a nice job. And Dallas Keuchel, man, Yankees aren't hitting home runs. They got a run scoring double from Aaron Judge. They got a run in the first inning. They're not doing it with the home run ball. They have never hit a home run off of Dallas Keuchel. Over 200 at bats against Dallas Keuchel. Never have hit a home run off of that dude. So you know. Also, another little piece of audio. T-Mac, I sent you the Ed Orgeron audio, right? Ed Orgeron was asked about what he missed. Did I send you that? I sent you that audio, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. It's a good one.
Ed Orgeron, yeah, he was. They asked him, you know, what he missed about his days at Ole Miss. He did come up with something.
You know, I used to stop at the Exxon and get a chicken on a stick, and it was fantastic. And I hope that cook is still there. I can stop and say hello to her. That's about all I remember.
This is in Oxford?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Chicken on a stick.
How
it was
good,
phenomenal.
It's good. Good chicken on a stick.
Best I ever had.
God bless him.
Oh my
God. I don't want him to go anywhere, T-Mac.
Best I ever
I don't
had.
Want it. I don't want him to get fired, man. Chicken on a stick. Yeah. At an Exxon station.
Hey,
best I ever had.
Apparently it's so good that where he wants to go back in and see the cook. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At an Exxon station.
I hope she's still there, he says.
Best I ever had.
Let me hear it one more time. I just want to hear it one more time.
All right, hold on. Hold on.
You know, I used to stop at the Exxon and get a chicken on a stick, and it was fantastic. And I hope that cook is still there, and I can stop and say hello to her. That's about all I remember.
This is in Oxford?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Chicken on a stick.
How
it was phenomenal.
It's good. Good chicken on a stick.
Best I ever had.
I love best I ever had.
There needs to be like a Cajun, like you can get it in the frozen food section at Walmart. Cajun chicken on a stick, yeah. And he needs to be on the box.
Ed Orgeron's chicken on a stick. Oh, God, it's tremendous. All right, we'll grab a break here from Jersey Mike's. The Randolph kids like it so much, they're coming in for seconds, I think, now. But we're here at Jersey Mike's, Whitesburg and Airport Road, the new Jersey Mike's. And here's the thing. By the way, kudos to Smokey Mike. We're not going to call it the ump truck anymore. We can't call it the ump truck. It just, I feel swarmy. How about the umpmobile? I mean, you know, Smokey gave it the ump. How about the umpmobile?
That's good.
I like the umpmobile. Don't you like umpmobile?
Yeah,
truck. I just feel a little uncomfortable calling it the ump truck.
And it rolls off the tongue too. So umpmobile it is. I like it. I don't think I can
gloss it. The umpmobile.
Yeah, either you or Arky would have to permanently gloss it. I don't think I have that power, but that's got my vote.
All right, I'm gonna tell Arky umpmobile. I like that. All right, let's get a break. When we come back, we'll got the rewind next right here on the Tom Abraham Show live at Jersey Mike's on 730-1039 AM. All guests on the Tom Abraham Show appearing at Woody Anderson Ford VIP Hotline. And let me just tell you this about that. I went over to Woody Anderson Ford on my way here today, and I was stunned. The showroom, I mean, the entire Woody Anderson Ford, I've never seen a dealership like that anyway. They got a doctor's office in the dealership for their employees. I mean, I've never seen anything like it before. I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous. There are big, huge flat-screen TVs all over the place. There's a fireplace in the middle of the thing. There's a Raptor, really, that's parked in front that I really would like to take that home. Some unbelievable Mustangs. But Woody Anderson Ford, if you have not been down there at Sparkman and Jordan Lane and seen it since they've done the work. Now, the grand opening is coming up November 1st, but you have got to get in there. They're open now. You got to get in there and see the new showroom. It is I've never in my life seen a dealership like that before. And then you have the full-service restaurant. Henry's Mustang Cafe and the service department, bar none. It's amazing. All right, all the guests today appeared on that hotline, and that included, of course, Chris Cotillo talking a little baseball with us. David Moulton was in from the SEC on CBS. Jordan Bianchi and Vince Ferraro all made it in. And a Woody Anderson Ford Rapid Rewind. Now, you don't want to go back to Houston having to win both to win the series, and that puts Dallas Keuchel right in the spotlight today. And he's been a Yankee killer unlike any other. I mean, we've used that term Yankee killer in the past with other pitchers, but this is a dude that's had over 200 at-bats against the Yankees, and they've never hit a home run on him, much less I think his all-time Yankee ERA is a 1.1-something. So, you know, Houston still has that going for them. And certainly if Keuchel does what Keuchel does, they go home on an opportunity, you know, two chances to close out at home.
Right, and one of those chances with Verlander on the mound. Verlander's been sensational in the postseason as well. So, you know, I think obviously it's tough knowing that you have to beat, you know, those guys just because they're so good. But the Yankees have not lost at home yet this postseason. They have that going for them. Keuchel, as you said, his best performance is in his career, and I think, you know, his big-time, big outings have all come against the Yankees in the postseason, and that's really what he's known for. So it's a very tall task. You know, I still, if I had to pick, I'd still take Houston just because of that firepower of Keuchel and Verlander, but it's a lot tighter than I thought it would be, especially after the first two games.
Yeah, certainly. Just no question. And when you look at this Houston team, when you look at both of these teams, and you know, we talk about the Red Sox and what they've got in place as well, I mean, it feels like you're looking at something that is going to be around for a while. I mean, I don't see any of those three teams going anywhere. And, you know, with the Cleveland Indians in the mix as well, it does seem to be kind of like the SEC in football this year. It does seem to be that it could be a little top heavy in the American League over the next few years because those are all young baseball teams.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the Red Sox, their stars are all younger guys, Betts and Bogart's been attendee. You know, obviously Devers coming up this year. The Yankees, it's Judge and Sanchez, and then some guys. You know, they're going to sign some guys to long-term contracts for the next couple winters with Houston. You know, they're a big market. They have some money to play around with, and all their guys. You know, for the most part, the big guys are homegrown there and younger, and Keuchel and Correa, Springer, those types. So you're seeing, you know, last winter was a little bit uncharacteristic for you know, not a lot of big-time free agent signings. This year you're going to see Eric Hosmer, J.D. Martinez probably get signed by the big market clubs you'd expect them to, and then waiting for next year in that big free agent class, Bryce Harper's going to end up with a big contender. If not the Yankees, then, you know, maybe the Dodgers, the Red Sox are going to be playing in that pool. You know, you're talking Manny Machado, Josh Donaldson, all these guys that are going to be available. So you're seeing, you know, the part that really is striking is that when you have these young players, they're all cost-effective, they're all cheap. They're going to be, you know, hitting arbitration at the same time as these free agents are going to start coming about. But they're still going to be, you know, a lot cheaper than they're worth. So you can spend $25-30 million a year on a guy. I think, you know, Stanton is an option for some of these clubs as well right now. It's going to be an arms race almost in the next couple off seasons, just as these top heavy teams keep getting better.
Over in the National League, the Dodgers, it seems like their struggles that they had late in the season seemed a thousand years ago. Now they just look as dominant as ever. I don't know. I feel like the Cubs win tonight, and then maybe it's over tomorrow night. But holy mackerels, Justin Turner and Taylor, and you know, with their pitching, Yu Darvish was a witch yesterday as well. It just seems inevitable that thing is going to end, and they might sit around and wait a while for that World Series to start. They might have a week and a half off or week off.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be. For them, they've obviously got some room there where they can, you know, drop a game or two and then still have it being up 3-0. Obviously, you're going to have to get through, if you're the Cubs, you're going to have to get through Wood, Kershaw, Hill, and Darvish. And that's something I don't think you're going to be able to win four straight games against those guys. So good chances for the Dodgers. I've been really impressed. You know, I think the Dodgers, for me, it's just – you're talking about the team with the most money, obviously, and the team that you think about big-time free agent signings, and obviously there's the big contracts they've brought on, whether it be, you know, Adrian Gonzalez or signing Kershaw to a mega deal or going out and getting these free agents. But the guys that you mentioned are guys that came to the Dodgers originally and very minor moves. Justin Turner was non-tendered by the Mets, comes over in a minor move. Chris Taylor's traded in a swap for Zach Lee that no one, you know, ever cared about. It's basically a triple-A trade, and all of a sudden these guys are the guys who are starring. To me, you know, to mix that high payroll, those, you know, the whole bright lights of L.A. with these smaller, savvy signings that end up paying off really, really well for these teams is really the mark of a really, really effective front office and obviously a championship contender.
In college football committee, whatever voters do, you know, we saw what they did with an undefeated Marshall team a couple of years ago. We saw what they've done with other teams that were non-Power 5 teams. Doesn't it feel like we are headed for a breakaway? I mean, it, as much as I love the guys at Middle Tennessee and some of the other UAB has been a great little story and some of these other places, it seems to be that somehow, some way, we'll get to maybe 72 teams max and we're going to get a breakaway here because that's in the world we're living in right now. There's the Power Five and the other five, and that's just the way it is.
Well, I think it's got to go one of two ways. You know, either the Power Five is going to want to continue to keep the group of five schools, you know, viable because they need them for scheduling purposes. All right, or they're just going to say, the heck with it. We're going to take on the lawsuit even. We don't care. We're breaking away. We're doing our own thing, and they can go fend for themselves. You know, I'll say this, Tom. I'm a believer in four, no more than six. But if it ever goes to eight, to me, that's where the group of five stays viable because the Power Five, if for legal reasons, if nothing else, could secure one of those eight spots for a group of five team that, say, finishes in the final 12 or 15 of ranking.
Right.
So, you know, a USF this year, a UCF this year, would have been Houston potentially last year. You know, if you can achieve a certain end-of-the-year ranking, there's a guaranteed spot for you in the playoff. That keeps the group of five viable, you know, and then in theory the Power Five still continues to schedule them. You know, to me, I think they'll tip their hand, Tom, in the next couple of years. If the LSUs of the world stop scheduling the Troys of the world, all right, then we know which direction they're going in.
Yeah, and for me, the four is always problematic because anytime you win a Power Five conference and don't even get a chance, don't even get a bite at the apple, yeah, they screwed up last year with Ohio State instead of Penn State. I really believe that.
They did.
But
they did.
If you win one of these conferences and you don't even get to play in the playoff, then there's something wrong with it. I'm an eight guy. I take the five champions and then I fix it with the next three teams. God forbid you have a team that loses a conference championship game that is clearly one of the best eight. You have three wild cards to fix it, and one of those could be a group of five, you know, team if you need to do it. Eight's the right number, and it means the regular season is still important because winning the conference is still important.
Well, I would argue with you it makes it less important. I also think angst drives this sport. Angst is the oxygen of this sport. It's what drives the off season for 200-plus days, and it drives the season, quite frankly. And so even though it's uncomfortable – and yes, Tom, yes, somebody gets left out. Somebody is kicking and screaming. I don't want to see college football inch closer to participation trophies. I like the fact we have angst. I like the fact that somebody is complaining. That's good. It's good for the sport. It drives it. It really does. The closer we get to eight, and God forbid 16 like everybody else, the more we water it down, and really, I mean, you know, you're already seeing ratings affected, Tom. You really are. I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of people still watching college football. But the numbers this year are not what the numbers were a couple years ago, and they weren't what they were 5 years ago. The audience is already getting more splintered. I think we need to strive for more excellence and not more very good.
That's what I tweeted, by the way, when that last wreck happened. I said, ooh, I said, Earnhardt's going to win this race. All we need is 11 more guys to wreck. He didn't want any part of going up there and all that crazy Dyson and all that. I mean, you got to, it's like, it's either checkers or death is the way that race is.
It was an interesting race. It's a unique race. And the 5-minute rule clock that NASCAR has that prohibits teams from fixing damaged race cars, it really played into an effect. And we saw with Jimmy Johnson. And it would have been interesting to see if Earnhardt wouldn't have gotten a piece of a few of those accidents. He had nose damage there. He might have been able to do something at the end. But when it was all said and done with, it was just Brad Keselowski. It was just too good for everybody.
Brad Keselowski in that Woody Anderson Ford with the deuce on it. Of course, I always tell people I also drive a white Ford Fusion. Doesn't have a number on the side, but other than that, it's identical. I think I got 140 horsepower. He's got maybe 700, but other than that, it's really close. I mean, you know, it's pretty much the same car. But how do you explain Ford and the restrictor plate tracks this year?
I think you have to look at it as they have, you know, Roush Yates, who makes those engines, has always emphasized being strong at Daytona and Talladega. That has always been a focus of theirs. And some years they're better than others. And this just year they've just hit on it. And it actually has been going on for some time now, because the last non-Ford to win a plate race was Denny Hamlin in 2016 at the Daytona 500. They Ford focuses on these racetracks. They like to do well here. It's a point of pride for them. It goes back to Robert Yates, the longtime Hall of Fame engine builder, who knew the secret sauce to running well in restrictor plate races. That's carried over to his son, who runs the company. And when you have drivers like Logano and Brad Keselowski, who are really good in these races and work really, really well together as teammates, and are willing to go above and beyond to help one another out. We saw Logano at the end there basically throwing blocks to help his team
yes.
win that race. You add everything together, this is why Ford keeps winning these races.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad that you said that, throwing blocks, because that was going on. And I was watching this race with my sons, and I was saying, you see the 22 down there? Yeah, he's a teammate of the two, and you're not supposed to – yeah, you're supposed to run for the win there, but it's obvious it looks like he's trying to hold up the field a little bit. And they're all like, that's BS. You can't do that. But we know what happens. There's no real way to legislate against it unless it's brutally obvious. But it did seem like the 22 there was doing his part to make sure that the 2 wasn't going to be unencumbered to the checkers.
It certainly seemed that way. And I know Logano afterwards said that wasn't the case. But you go back and watch the replay, and I've watched it 2 times. He was throwing some pretty big blocks there at the end. And when you factor that Keselowski is in the playoffs and racing for a championship and Logano is not, I mean, he's basically racing for wins at this point. It's understandable why he was doing that, just being a good teammate. And I understand why people may get upset by that. But, you know, this doesn't happen on a weekly basis. I mean, I think it's kind of unique to Daytona and Talladega. And I'm okay with it. I don't like to see it as blatant as sometimes it happens. But I think what happened last week, considering the circumstances, I don't really have an issue with it.
Like, he knows what he's saying. It's like the joke is on us. I mean, what is something about, like, we played winning football, we just didn't win? I don't even know what that means. I mean, I guess I get a little bit of where he's going with that, but it's like we were missing the one element. What? Scoring more points than the other team? Yeah, that's the missing element that you have.
Right. Basically, he said we played winning football in every way except for scoring touchdowns.
What the hell is that?
what he's trying to say is we just didn't finish that last element in the red zone. That if we punch in one extra thing, see that's the thing that, or there's many things that are frustrating, but they look at it as, hey, we're just one guy breaking down out of 11 on a certain play. But once we clean that up, they feel like it's just one little execution thing. They talk about execution, execution, execution. To me, that's, hey, it's the player's fault. We're calling the right plays. And
yeah.
And if they think they're just one assignment here and there away from being a much better football team, then they're going to continue to do the same thing. And guess what they're going to get? They're going to get the same result. So here's the thing. Back to the hey, it would be futile for next year. In a lot of fans that have already made up their mind, absolutely. But here's the thing. If they get to 8-4 after this Alabama game, what will that mean? That'll mean
yeah.
they would have won their last 5 and probably find something for him to be able to sell for next year. And what that might be is a quarterback, because if they win their last 5, I know it's not likely to happen. I doubt it will. But you might actually have a quarterback of the future for fans to get excited about, and that's an extra selling point. So that's the only case scenario. But, again, that is an extreme long shot.
Well, if he were to win those last 5, then would he declare them the champions of November? I mean, you know, if you're champions of November, I mean, you know, I guess you got something going for it.
Yeah, I mean, and leadership yeah. reps was another
leadership
one that he got criticized for. It was actually one of my questions. I asked him about, all right, this is before they went to Garantano, how are you dividing the actual reps between your quarterbacks, because they hadn't named one yet. And he said, well, you know, even if they're not getting the, you know, in team stuff, then you, they can get leadership reps and, you know, you're mentally in the game and you're walking. So he was trying to say, hey, you just get mental reps, but he talks about so many other things outside of what the real meat and potatoes is you want to hear about. He labels them at times. So
yeah,
that then he gets criticized and everybody's listening for that stuff right now.
And I'm good with mental reps. Everybody's good with everybody understands right. mental reps. You always want your guys that are on the sideline or that are standing behind the offense during a team-up period at practice to mentally go through what their job is. That's a mental rep. That's fine, but nobody ever called them leadership reps.
Right.
What the hell's a leadership rep? I mean, it's just it's goofy stuff. Vince Ferrara with us here talking a little bit of Alabama, Tennessee. Now, the funny thing is, when you were in Tuscaloosa, you went through that transition period there too. You were in there during the Mike Shula years, and,
oh, yeah.
and with Shula, it was weird because with Shula there was a change in culture, which they needed. There mm-hmm. was a they had 2005, right, and then they go win the Cotton Bowl, and they go 10-3, had a big win against Florida, quote unquote signature win, which Butch has already had, you know, something like that within his 5 years. But now here they are, they're 10-3, and everybody kind of has that feeling like, oh, great, just enough to win and, you know, keep the guy around, but we're really not winning, you know, we're not winning the SEC anytime soon with this guy. You knew that you weren't going to win the SEC, but it was too good a record to fire the guy. There's a lot of that's going on there, but I never remember Alabama ever being a 35-point dog to anybody in the conference. I mean, come on.
No. They were competitive, but they weren't getting enough done in the conference, and you didn't see that year after year improvement. Butch Jones, at least until last year, could sell the win total improving. Last year they leveled off at 9 wins, but it's, you know, they trot out the wins over a couple of years, the bowl burst, all that stuff. Fans are way past that. Butch Jones wants fans to compare to the worst stretch of football over the last 9-10 years, and they don't want to be compared to that. And they want to be compared to the championship years, the best of the times under Philip Fulmer. And so that's the disconnect between the two. He's like, hey, look where you were. And fans are like, we know where we were. You got us there. Now where's the level that you're supposed to bring us to? He's 14-21 in the SEC. He's 8-10 in home SEC games. He's
right.
13-21 in games. 13-19 in games against teams 500 or better when they played them. So, you know, there's the numbers that people care about, the big games, the SEC, and there's no division championship. Those are the ones that are highlighted, and there was a little bit of that issue with Shula as well.
All right, there you have it. That is your Woody Anderson Ford Rapid Rewind. When we come back, we will end the show, maybe get a little T-Mac update for you, and I will bring the big dog back, I promise. It's the Tom Abraham Show right here on Sports Radio 730-1039. The Ump.
Welcome back. Final segment of the Tom Abraham Show here on a very special hump day in a doghouse. I want to thank everybody who came on down to Jersey Mike's and took advantage of the great T-shirts that we did. And they were great T-shirts. I got to be honest with you. They were very, very cool T-shirts. And we had about 80 people show up today. I mean, that's really, really good. And T-Mac, I told you before, man. If I was doing games that was right around the corner from this joint, I'd be eating my pregame meal here. And I know I had a giant Philly cheesesteak for lunch at 1 o'clock. I think I'm having a giant Philly cheesesteak for dinner, man. I'm going to crush one of those things. Hey, I got a BOGO one for you. Hey, Tide fan over there, come on over here for a second. This is a guy that doesn't miss too many subs. Are you kidding me? I want to be here. Let me take care of you because you didn't get a shirt because we ran out of them. And now you got Roll Tide over there. Oh, beautiful. Appreciate that. That was the other thing too, T-Mac. A lot of guys came in today. By the way, before when T-Mac came back to me, T-Mac, I didn't have my mic turned up. You see, I shouldn't. I'm really not fit to be out here by myself. You know that, right?
Yeah, that's okay. A good point. Yeah, you definitely need me out there.
Fine, just play music on me. Don't talk to me. Yeah, don't talk to me. Just play music. That's fine.
Well,
I appreciate it.
What do you want me to say?
All right, all guests appear on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. I got Ray Dogg. Let me tell you something. I got real legends here in front of me. I got Ray Dogg and I got Magoo here in front of me, who sat in that very chair that you're sitting in. And he did not abandon me when I was on the road either. All right, we'll do it again tomorrow. We'll be back in studio tomorrow for a Throwback Thursday. Going to be a big show. Again, thanks to everybody at Jersey Mike's. For Cream and Tony Mack, I am Tom Abraham. Have a great night, everybody.